Another word for creep. "Hey neighbor," she writes. "I hear you're from Boca. Me too. Small world, huh?" I'm 20 years old, single with an Adderall addiction, a fashion design student in New York City. It's 7 in the morning, October, and I'm drinking coffee out of a mug when Lennox Price's name shows up on my screen, in my inbox, calling me neighbor. I read on. "Well, I recently moved here for a guy, but we broke up. And then I met this dope chick named Leah who said she dormed with you or something. And I told her where I was from, and she was like, 'Another Boca girl. Sweet. You two should be friends. So what do you think, neighbor? Hang sometime?'" I stare at the screen. I light a Camel. I look up recent pictures of Lennox Price. When did she move to New York? She looks the same as she used to on MySpace, though she's platinum blonde now, with a diamond Monroe piercing to look more like Marilyn. She poses with the boyfriend, a comedian. I recognize him from his late-night specials, the square jaw, a scar across his cheek. The two of them look happy, beautiful, symmetrical in their power. In some photos, Lennox uses a book to cover her face from photographers, but I can tell by her eyebrows that she's smiling. I call Clarissa, to whom I haven't spoken in years. "You won't believe this," I say to her voicemail. "Remember Lennox Price?" My mother picks me up from the Fort Lauderdale airport 2 days before Christmas. I feel more mature in my college clothes, New York clothes, wearing a black turtleneck and emerald tweed pants. "Aren't you hot?" my mother says. "Aren't you dying?" "I'd rather sweat to death than dress like Jimmy Buffett," I say. "How's my college girl?" she says. "My Project Runway girl." "Same old," I say. Dog piss freezes up there. My mother's spray tan is wet. She looks like she's been smeared all over with syrup. She and my father, who now split their time between Florida and New York, recently employed a woman named Elna to come over to the house and assemble a pop-up tanning tent in front of the living room TVs. My parents take turns standing in the structure, naked save for goggles, while Elna has them spread their fingers, their toes, spraying their bodies with bronze. The two of them have never been happier. We drive straight from the airport to Best Buy. "We need to pick out some Christmas and Hanukkah gifts," says my mother. "Choose some cool electronics. I don't know electronics. And we'll hand them out. Doesn't matter who gets what, just choose some nice shit." I pick up cameras, iPods, DVD players, USB drives. They clatter in my blue basket. I silently assign who will get what based on how I currently rank everyone in my family and who voted for John McCain. On the way back to the car, I say, "I think these gifts are good." "Good," says my mother. "Good, I thought so. Expensive enough." "Also, I think I'm in love," I say. "David?" she says. "Still?" "He's no good for you, baby. He's really such a pussy. He's really a scumbag shitmouth mooch of whiny white garbage and a liar face." "Not David," I say. "Stratton again?" "It's a girl," I say, as my mother pops open the trunk. "Girl." The word shapes my mouth in a new way, tongue to teeth. I feel like I'm playing the role of a daughter testing her mother, a daughter grinding her way through a rebellious stage, pushing buttons. "Girl," just to see how far it can go. Her name's Lennox. We've been friends since high school. It's actually very sweet. My mother pulls the bags from my arms, one by one, loads them into the trunk of our car. She lines them up in neat rows, pats the plastic flat. She smooths her shirt, takes her sunglasses off to wipe the steam, squints dramatically at the sun, places the glasses back on her face. "What do you want for dinner?" she asks. "Anything you've missed?" "It's true, I'm from Boca," I type back. "Parkland, really. I try so hard to forget. How funny that we don't know each other." I include my phone number. I hit send before I can change my mind. Hours later, Lennox responds. "How about tomorrow? Natural History Museum? I've never been." "Great," I type. "There's a new show at the planetarium. And the whale is really something." It's not that I never thought about it. girls, women. It's that I thought about it too much. I wait for Lennox in a cafe near the museum. I run my fingers through my hair to smooth it. I straighten my tie. Lately, I've been going to an evening writing class in Midtown, where a woman with a shaved head has been instructing us to keep a journal. In the cafe, I pretend to write in this journal to look busy, scholarly, like I have something important on my mind, but I am only writing Lennox's name in rows. I'm so focused on the loop of my L's that I miss Lennox walking through the door. She just appears across from me, every detail of her, breathing. She's 20 minutes late. "I'm sorry," she says. Those are the first words she ever says to me. "But I think I just saw James Franco outside. He winked." I laugh, covering my teeth. I say, "It's nice to meet you, and tell me more about James Franco." Because I want to be this friend. I want to be the kind of person who was there for Lennox Price. Her cheeks are a deeper pink in person. Her teeth, sharper. She's wearing the same leather belt she wore in 2005 in photos from her BFF Kelly's graduation party. I wonder where Kelly is now. "So talk to me," I say. "What's your story?" An hour later, Lennox Price and I recline our chairs and stare up into the galaxy. Meteors corkscrew overhead. They look like giant cookies. We laugh as Whoopi Goldberg's voice booms through the auditorium, telling us how small we are, reminding us that we will all burn out into dust. At the end of the show, a child approaches Lennox. "You look like a fake, like a doll. So pretty." Before the child's mother yanks her by the arm. Lennox smiles at me in the dark. "You get that a lot? The attention?" "All the time," she says. We spend Christmas in the Florida Keys. My parents and I drive with the top down, wind blasting, a turquoise wall snaking us all the way down past trailer homes, roadside coolers of bleeding fish, rusting statues of dolphins. We stop at the Shell Man, where a fisherman tries to sell us hermit crabs, conch shells that will bring us straight to Jesus if we listen carefully enough. My parents squeeze each other's hands the whole drive, singing their favorite songs. "I Believe in Miracles. Where are you from, you sexy thing?" They make out at every stop sign. They're like teenagers, this sober version of them, these final years of my father's life, as if they've just been reunited after a lame summer apart. As if that's all they had missed of each other. My brothers and their partners meet us down there at the resort. Sean's wife, Maya, is a fitness instructor. She runs me up and down the beach, a stopwatch in her hand. She counts my push-ups and puts money wagers on each set I complete. She promises extra food and alcohol if I finish another circuit. This has always been our bonding. Maya wants me to practice wellness. When she tells me I could have a life full of sweat and centeredness and rippling ribbons of muscle, I believe her. She has always wanted what's best for me. She checks in long distance, reminds my brothers of my birthday. Before she ever met me, she sent those Sour Patch candies to Florida. She's your sister. It's time you get to know each other. Maya is kind like that. That evening, we sit by the swimming pool. I jogged 1 mile today, and I've wrapped my ankles in ace bandages in order to feel more accomplished, like an athlete. Tiki torches blaze behind our heads. A man splays his fingers across a classical guitar while steel drums hammer behind him. He sings about margaritas and lost dogs. He sways and spins in slow circles as he sings, tangling and untangling the mic cord as he goes. "I have to tell you something," I say to Maya. "I don't know who else to tell." We're slurping down blue drinks, bingo plates slick with other people's tanning oil rest in our laps. "What's up, Buttercup?" "I'm involved in something," I say. "I mean, with someone." "David? That guy is such an asshole. Don't tell your brothers if you're back with him." "There's a girl. Her name is Lennox. She's so beautiful, Maya, you wouldn't believe. Her nails are these perfect little squares, and she took care of me after the accident last month. She's also super in shape, you'd be impressed." "Involved?" I'm feeling a lot of things about it. Well, it's okay, she says. We all have experiences like this. That's college. I think it's more. Listen, she says, I wouldn't go telling anyone about this just yet. How come? Let's see if it sticks before we cross that bridge, okay? It's sticking. Let's just see before you say anything. You can't unsay something like that. Or, perhaps, I never had the context to think about it. Girls, in the right ways. I wanted to be them. I wanted them to like me. I wanted to smell like them and dress like them and know what girl tastes like, know how to walk pretty and line my eyes so they would look more open and shave the girl parts of my body. And once, the first night I met that butch writing instructor, I wanted to run my hands all over the shaved parts of her neck. I wanted to tip the woman at a cafe more because she held that smile a beat too long. I wanted to have sleepovers with that middle school science teacher, such a dyke. I wanted to try on her slacks, stand in front of her closet mirror while both of us fussed with the belt, the pleats. I wanted her to tell me I looked good, hot, handsome even. Maybe wink at me slyly in the middle of class, our secret. But believe me, girls, I never knew how much more I wanted them. Lennox Price eats junk food. Jars of peanut butter by the spoonful, chicken fries, bright, shiny taffies. She is also an online life coach. Other things that surprise me about Lennox Price. She does not speak to her family. Not even your brothers? Never. They're all still in Sweden. She likes to get high in the small, dank bathrooms of East Village bars. She has never been on a vacation that a man hasn't paid for. And her real name is Louisa. But don't say that shit in public, okay? We're eating spaghetti on the Upper East Side. She uses a fork and spoon to twist the pasta in perfect form. I use the chopsticks I carry in my purse and try so hard to be neat, tidy, no slips. My last breakup was so bad, she says. With the comedian? Mm-hmm. We had a cat together. Little bitty thing. She looked like a baby koala, so I changed her name to Coco. She was a koala or a moose, depending on the day. I say, those are very different things. It was bad. I miss Coco. I miss living in the village rent-free. Stars are tough to date, all that ego, you know? Oh, sure, I go. Of course. We're trying joint custody with Coco, but I guess that doesn't matter. What matters is I think I might, maybe sort of, be done with men for good, you know? On to the next. She reaches to click her glass against mine. I don't think I understand, I say. I mean, I've marched in a pride parade before, in Florida. I marched with the bisexuals. I stuff my mouth with pasta. I nod into my bowl. Are you not? She says, leaning back. No, I don't think so. No offense, she says, but you seem really gay. Like, really, really gay. I've thought of it before, I say. I mean, it's not like I've never, or anything. I could tell, she says. I mean, I think I've even loved a girl before. Maybe once. Paula, back in Florida. She doesn't really know who I am, though. I could tell. November. Lennox's face under the blue glow of a bar on Graham Avenue. She looks like a drawing of herself in this deep swell of light. Every waiter and bartender, every bad date, eyeing all of Lennox Price, the pale halo of electric blue hair, her high leather boots. She kicks them up and on the bar to show me the stitching, something Lennox Price can do without pause. Her bangs are growing out, caught up in her eyelashes, twitching as she blinks. You should touch me more, she says. What's the shy about? I'm just a very serious person, I say. That's all. I lean into my elbow, looking at her. You always look like you're about to cry. Do you know that? I usually am about to cry, I say. Put your arm around me if you want. Okay, I say. I sit up. I move the weight of my arm around her, without letting it fully rest on Lennox's shoulder. I don't want to burden her with it. I strain to keep it there, in position, a slight hover on her skin. My hand there. There. It's like I want to take a picture of you every second of every day.
You're drunk, she says.
So are you.
It's like you love me or something.
I just get you, I think. Maybe it's a Florida thing.
Why'd you leave? She says.
My dad, I wanted to see him more. I had shit grades, but design school let me in.
Wonder why, I say, sipping my drink. Does the shoe stuff get annoying?
You have no idea.
You like it here? She says. I miss the sunshine.
I'll never go back, I say. I can be alone here, surrounded by people. Best combination.
That's kind of sad.
Can I tell you a secret? I say.
Anything.
I think I once saw you on the internet, when I was some dumb kid. You had a webpage, right? Pictures and diary entries?
Yes, oh my God, her face scrunches. That is so embarrassing.
Yeah, I saw you there. Maybe I did love you a little. Yeah.
That is so cute, she says. I scoot closer to her.
I look at her, steady, really try to see her. I don't laugh this moment off. I want her to see me too.
And by cute, I mean creep, she says, pinching my nose.
Careful, I'm a bleeder. The bartender says our last round is on the house. I can tell Lennox is used to this. He pushes over a receipt on which he's drawn a sketch of Lennox. Square jaw, apostrophe eyes, a ballpoint pen masterpiece in which she looks perfect, alone.
Once, I did mention it, to Clarissa. My favorite specials on the black box. Misty's dance teacher, Jacqueline. Ren Stevens on the Disney Channel. Winnie Cooper in her cat-eye glasses. Every girl who's ever worked her hair into a pencil twist. Miss Daikuchi. Dr. Frankenfurter. Linda Perry. Leonardo DiCaprio just before he freezes to death. The way he looks like he's wearing lipstick.
That would change if you ever had sex with one, she said.
And how do you even have sex with one?
It's a nickel-slapping kind of rain, a silver bounce to it. It is not cold enough to snow. Outside the bar, under the awning, we shiver. I rub my gloved hands up and down Lennox's arms.
Call me a cab? Can you call cabs in Brooklyn? She asks.
Would you come home with me? I say. Even 5 drinks in, I don't know how I possibly say it.
Okay, she says.
Sure.
I live close.
I start to run. Slowly, at first, and then faster. A neck-throbbing run. We run from the sharp pings of freezing rain, and we run to keep our blood from freezing. We run for Lennox's hair. I run to keep my hands from trembling. She runs to show me how well she can run in heels. I run because I don't want the time to talk, for her to take back what she's just said, or for me to do the same. We run under the Brooklyn Queens Expressway, a relief from the rain. We run beneath the hollow ribbon of orange light, the echo-swish sound of cars. We run around skateboard ramps made of milk crates, crookedly parked cars, browned, dimpled mattresses. We run past the people who live under here. Give me some sugar! We run wet and dizzy until my breathing can't keep up, until I barely know where I live, until I round a corner and find the doorway of my gate and push in the key, lean into it, release. We run up the stairs into my living room where we shake our clothes off. They slop onto the wooden floor, the garments pooling out with a steam to them. I push her onto my bed and run my fingers through the hair by her ear, and she's moaning before I even kiss her.
You know what you're doing? She asks.
I think so, I say.
You think so?
I think I can manage.
Have you fucked a woman before?
No. I regret the truth as soon as it comes. Lennox is silent. She stares at my ceiling, covers her face with her hands. She laughs a little, the sound muffled.
Sweetheart, you're sweet, but I can't be with someone who's never fucked before. Are you for real? I mean, I've fucked at least 4 of my friends. You haven't? No, I shake my head. I don't have friends like that. Whatever's happening here, she says, let's pretend it's not happening. In the Keys, my parents take me deep sea fishing. I drug myself with Dramamine because I know how this will go. I always get seasick, but my father is a fan of exposure therapy, excess of anything until the fear passes. I have used wristbands, medicines, oils, the horizon. Still, I am sick for days. Back in the condo, my father watches the Sunday game. The rest of the family is back out on the boat, but I can't move. I thought it'd be different by now, he says, shaking his head. Sorry, Kira Cucamonga. He calls his bookie, and I rest my head in his lap. The shoulder pads on television spiral in and out of my vision. The noise is too much for me. This is Madman 46. Let's go 2000 on Steelers, he says into the phone. He strokes my hair, hangs up and slams the cell phone into the table. I stare at the hammerhead shark mounted above the TV. The eyes are bulging. The mouth looks like it was painted with birthday cake frosting. It's the same shark David has mounted to the wall in his apartment, the shark he swore he once caught. Daddy, I want to tell you something, I say. The quarter's almost over, he says. I'm dating a girl, I say. What's that? He stares into the television, his knees bouncing under my head. He leans with the play. Go, baby, go! I'm dating a girl, I say. She's coming to town for New Year's. She's from here. Maybe you can meet her. What's that? He says. I want you to meet her, this girl I am dating. She's coming to town. She hot? He asks. She is. She can come around then, he says, eyes still on the screen. But I wouldn't mention this to your mother. For my 10th birthday, my mother bought me a Barbie doll who could talk. All I had to do was type her dialogue into a computer program, plug Barbie in, and on she went. I typed and typed. Leonardo, baby, take me to dinner? Yes, anything, I said, stroking her ponytail with my thumb. Leonardo, be my man? It's because of the boy in Titanic, my mother explained to my father, smiling. She loves him. Leonardo, 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 Leonardo. Sometimes I didn't feed Barbie any questions. Sometimes I just wanted to look at her while she called me that. I'm finally picking up the rest of my things from David's West Village home. It's been 5 months since our breakup. David is 10 years older than me, but he has never used the kitchen of his studio apartment. He never learned to cook, so he uses this area for extra coat racks and shoe storage. I open his oven to look for my clothes. His sink is clogged, full of bong water. On the counter, next to a sock, 2 wine glasses. Lipstick prints. I smudge the color with my finger and rub the waxy red on my own lips. My clothes are scattered around the apartment, and I'm surprised by how little I feel. I feel distant, like I'm observing the artifacts, the evidence, of somebody else's relationship. Somebody else's life. Downstairs, I wobble with the bags of clothing, my purse, a backpack full of toiletries. I drop everything into the snow and hail a cab. I tell the driver to take me to my parents' apartment on Mercer Street. In the cab, I call Lennox. I did it, I say. Finally, nothing left. I hope they're happy together, she says. I'm laughing about this. About the years I wasted on David and David's cocaine habit, David's bad spelling, and his job as a gentleman's club director, David's secret J-Date account and fetish chat rooms, the way he sang Bowie's Oh, Oh, My Little China Girl into my ear when he first picked me up at 18 outside a nightclub in the meatpacking district. I am laughing into the phone until there's a screaming of tires, a horn, then another, the driver's voice, please don't. I can't get in trouble. Here, go, stay. A hospital. A nurse. Hit the glass divider. You're at St. Vincent's. You're okay. And my father's voice. and my mother's voice. You didn't get his cab number? And my suede boots, freckled, bloody. They look so filthy against the sheets. A wheelchair, a flashlight in the eyes. The driver, he dropped her and fled. Where are my bags? Where are my things? The driver, do you remember his name? My bags in the hospital trash cans. What about my phone? I just want Lennox there, on the other end. My mother stays with me in the hospital. She wheels me around each floor. She takes me into the hospital cathedral because the lights aren't as bright in there. She massages my neck. Daddy and I have that big trip to China, she says. Do you want us to cancel? I'm okay, I say. Can any of your friends come over, take care of you? Why were you leaving David's apartment? No, I'm okay. We'll see you for Christmas, she says. That'll be nice, huh? Florida sun, David free, no fishing. Lennox shows up to my parents' apartment with soup and cartons of juice. She calls herself my nurse. We spoon mint ice cream into each other's mouths in bed. We watch movies, but face each other the whole time as the television light flicks the walls. What did it feel like to almost die? You are the most interesting person I've ever met. I ask her to read pages of Frank O'Hara aloud. We take my painkillers with large bulbs of red wine. We clasp hands under the blankets. I rest my head on her bare stomach, kiss her rib cage, her belly button, but never her lips. I always want to kiss you, I say. Then kiss me, anywhere. The truth? When I'm around Lennox, when our noses come too close, I fear that she'll feel my weakness right through my shirt. The same weakness that makes me say goodbye early each night I see her, that brings me straight home or into a stall of the closest public bathroom where I will jerk my hand down the front of my pants, give in to that knot inside me that only loosens when I think of her long enough to make myself come. The knot that tightens back up as soon as it's finished, as soon as the tears come in hiccups. But what I say is, let's just take it slow, okay? We don't leave bed for days. I tell my college roommate, Carolina, a Romanian ballerina with the personality of a nubbed crayon. This is later, the aftermath. It's been years since we've seen each other. Gay is the word that I use. While you were with David? Sometimes. I thought that was a phase, that sad crush on your writing teacher. It wasn't. And then you had a girlfriend? I did. Her name was Lennox. Carolina zipped her purse just then. She wiped non-existent crumbs from her lipstick with a napkin. She cleared her throat once, twice, three times, tilted her small head as she looked at me. Her hair, gelled slick into a bun, shone under the lights like a chess pawn. I lived with you, she says. This bitch, she started crying. I changed my clothes in front of you. So you eat pussy now, is that what you're saying? Addison Katz French inhales a Marlboro. It looks like gray tapeworms are winding from her mouth into her nostrils. Yeah, I guess you could say that. Lennox Price, really? I nod. Figured you would. You always had it in you, says Claudia. We're having a small high school reunion in Danny's mom's mansion. We wear black paper top hats with gold mirrored lettering. New Year's 2009. Cardboard noisemakers piled on the patio table like Chinese finger traps. Danny's mom bought us these accessories. Let me take a picture. The girl's back together again. Before locking herself in her room with a romance novel, a glass of champagne, and their dachshund. It's not like I was always, it just happened to me, I say. Believe it, she'll be here soon. The four of us have nothing in common. We were barely friends in the first place, but we are the only people back home in Boca for the holidays. We reach for conversation from every corner of the room. Addison's new haircut, Danny's ailing dog, Claudia's new gig at a makeup stand in the mall. But the conversation always circles back to Lennox Price, the girl she once was in her pictures, the woman she is now. So what are you lesbos doing tonight? Asks Addison. Besides eating pussy. Going to the beach, I say, because this is our plan. Lennox is picking me up after her family reunion, just before midnight. She wants to kiss me just then, she said, on the dot, as the ball plummets in Times Square, as people recite wishes and resolutions, as fireworks trail the sky like chalk. A new beginning, she and I. We'll go to the beach, whip open the bedsheet I packed, let champagne dribble down our chins and into our shirts. We could be the better, truer versions of us going forward, now that we are telling people, now that we're ready. Well, what time is she coming? Because it's almost here, says Danny, lighting another smoke from one of the packs on the table. Her hair keeps sticking to her lip gloss, so she lumps it together at the top of her forehead, snaps a rubber band. There is a way in which Danny has always looked older, over it, ready to retire to Palm Beach. Lennox hasn't called yet. Rumor has it that the cell towers are down. That's what I tell them anyway, these girls. The lines are busy. Too much traffic. Too many calls. Once my head is healed from the accident, Lennox takes me out for dinner and drinks on St. Mark's Place. She wants me to meet an old friend of hers, a childhood neighbor. His name is Thomas, and he carves ice sculptures. Thomas does not acknowledge me. He does not shake my hand. The three of us sit. We sip Manhattans, poke at a limping salad. I didn't know you were this way, Louisa, I didn't. What about your parents? Thomas, she laughs. Come on, stop. It's not right, he says. It's nothing, she says. So what's it like, I ask him, to spend so much time making art that disappears? These drinks are strong, says Lennox. You're a child of his, don't forget. Thomas excuses himself to the bathroom. This is fun, I say. I think he's always liked me, she says. It's nothing personal. Everyone likes you. That's not an excuse. Do you want to just go? She asks. While he's in there? Yeah. We don't say another word before standing up and shoving our chairs under the table. Before I have time to think about it, I take her face in my hands and kiss her. I kiss Lennox every 5 feet of our walk. I kiss her on every corner, against every building. I kiss her in front of every person we pass. If someone says something about it, I kiss her harder. If they say nothing, I kiss her harder. I kiss her for every girl I have ever not kissed. I kiss her against the door of my parents' empty apartment and against the kitchen sink and then in bed. Let me fuck you, I say. I want to love you. She takes her top off, nodding. I unhook her bra, easy. I'm relieved to manage this part. She unbuttons my shirt, unhooks me. We press chest to chest, and I have never felt this naked in my life. Her breasts are large, shining, firm. You ever feel these before? I press my hands over them, up, down, left, right, like a Hail Mary, unsure of what to do. I lick, I suck, I crunch my hips against her, but I'm not sure what kind of contact I'm making or where. I move my hands down between her legs, under the lace, fumbling for something familiar. It must feel familiar, right? Nothing feels familiar. I'm shaking and circling my hands, grinding my torso against her leg like a newly neutered dog. She is sucking on my neck, moaning, "Oh yeah, that's right." But I know this is an act of kindness, of mercy. It is true when I say that I am always about to cry. By 2:30 a.m., Addison, Danny, and Claudia are packing bulbs of purple haze into a glass pipe shaped like an elephant. Let's call this pipe Anne Boleyn, I say, but nobody gets it. The girls speak with flat, croaked voices as we swat smoke and mosquitoes. Sorry, dude, maybe the lines really are tied up, says Danny. Or maybe she drives really, really, really slow, says Addison, chuckling to herself until she forgets what it is she's chuckling about. We are high. My phone is in the middle of the table, between the ashtrays, a dead, blank face to it. Nothing. Claudia's inside shouting the contents of Danny's refrigerator as we scream yes or no. Addison pulls on a lace bodysuit she plans on wearing to a Lady Gaga concert. Her nipple rings glitter here, in the dark. "I don't smoke grass," I say, sucking from the trunk of the elephant. "Yeah, it doesn't look like it," says Danny. "Remember when you used to bug out?" says Addison. "You always thought you were dying." "We're all always dying," I say. "You're so full of shit," Addison goes on. "You don't smoke grass like you never drank, like you never sucked dudes off in the school parking lot. You always deny everything you want." Addison, always a philosopher when high. "True," I say, "but that's not the same as not wanting it." "What the fuck are we talking about?" asks Danny. "Like, what?" In middle school, Clarissa and I went to Disney with our friend Jerry. In the Universal Studios bathroom, Jerry leaned back on the stall door, manic panic green bangs sweat smeared across her forehead, and she laced her fingers behind my neck and said, "Practice. Why don't we practice for the real thing?" She opened her mouth for me just like that, the O of her choir face, and so I leaned into it. "Let me in on the practice," Clarissa said, and the three of us kissed one another. 1, 2, 3, you go left, I go right. Tongue sloppy, braces clicking. Later that night, we met some boys near the hotel pool. Clarissa kissed someone in the dark as I watched the blue glow on Jerry's bare stomach, Jerry's pruned feet, one of the boys leading Jerry away as she let go of my hand, laughing, saying, "I'll be right back." We all take the stairs to Danny's bedroom. It's still pink, lacy as a tablecloth, unchanged since high school. The lavender sachets in her pajama drawers are brown by now, the sheets too starched. The girls fall asleep with their clothes on. I curl up on the carpeted floor, watch the lights of passing cars slash up and down the walls. My phone does not buzz in my hand. I check and recheck to make sure it's on, charged. Sometimes I feel I've spent my whole life waiting. Louisa, Lennox Price. Her name drags me down the stairs, out the door, to my car, where I drive home along the beach. The sun lifts and bleeds out along the ocean. It's a new year, and the air is already warm. Louisa. I walk barefoot into my house, bury myself under my childhood covers, and sleep. The next day, there are pictures of her, partying in Fort Lauderdale with her old friends. In the days after that, more pictures of her appear on the internet, with the comedian. She posted the photos herself, the two of them in a white linen bed with Coco the cat. "Happy holidays. We love you." She does love him, I think. The look of her, she does. Whatever comes before or after men is a footnote. My life has taught me this by now. I nod my head at the computer, understanding, forcing a smile as if this were our final conversation. Lennox Price went back to the boyfriend who would love her, need her, the simpler life. Of course she did. By spring, I do too.